Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, the Introduction. And there's no purport for some of these verses, so I'm just going to read them. Text 60. O Vasudev, you may take back your child and go home. I have no fear of your first child. It is the eighth child of you and Devaki I am concerned with, because that is the child by whom I'm destined to be killed. Vasudeva agreed and took his child back. But because Kamsa had no character and no self-control, Vasudeva knew that he could not rely on Kamsa's word. Text 62 to 63, but we'll just read 62, the Sanskrit. Nandadya Ye Raja Gopa Yaschaimi Shamcha Yoshita Vrishnayo Vasudeva Devadya Devakyadya Yadu Sriha. Nanda Adya. Beginning from Nanda Maharaj. Yay. All of which persons. Rajay. In Vrindavana. Gopa. The cowherd men. Ya. Which. Cha. And. Amisham. All of these inhabitants of Vrindavana. Cha, as well as Yoshitaha, the women, Vrishnaya, members of the Vrishni family, Vasudeva Adya, headed by Vasudeva, Devaki Adya, headed by Devaki. Yadu Striyaha, all the women of the Yadu dynasty. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Vrindavana, headed by Nanda Maharaj, and including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens of the heavenly planets. O Maharaj Prikshit, best of the descendants of Bharata, and so too were the descendants of the Vrishni dynasty, headed by Vasudeva and Devaki, and the other women of the dynasty of Yadu, the friends, relatives, and well-wishers of both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, and even those who externally appeared to be followers of Kamsa, were all demigods. Purport. As previously discussed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, informed Lord Brahma that Lord Krishna would personally descend to mitigate the sufferings on the earth. The Lord ordered all the denizens of the heavenly planets to take birth in different families of the Yadu and Vishnu dynasties and in Vrindavana. Now this verse informs us that all the family and friends of the Yadu dynasty, the Vishnu dynasty, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas descended from the heavenly planets to see the pastimes of the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord's pastimes consist of paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam, saving the devotees and killing the demons. To demonstrate these activities, the Lord called for the devotees from different parts of the universe. There are many devotees who are elevated to the higher planetary systems. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushisva shasviti samak suchinam shrimaham dehe yoga brashto vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. The Bhagavatam 6.41, Bhagavad Gita 6.41. Some devotees, having failed to complete the process of devotional service, are promoted to the heavenly planets, to which the pious are elevated. And after enjoying there, they may be directly promoted to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. When Lord Krishna was to appear, the denizens of the heavenly planets were invited to see the pastimes of the Lord. And thus it was stated here that the members of the Yadu and Rishni dynasties and the inhabitants of Vrindavan were demigods, or almost as good as demigods. Even those who externally helped the activities of Kamsa belonged to the higher planetary systems. The imprisonment and release of Vasudeva and the killing of various demons were all manifestations of the pastimes of the Lord. And because the devotees would be pleased to see these activities personally, they were all invited to take birth as friends and relatives of these families, as confirmed in the prayers of Kunti, Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Nato Natya Daro Yata. The Lord was to play the part of a demon killer and a friend and son and brother to his devotees, and thus these devotees were all summoned. So the translation again. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens in the heavenly planets. Maharaj Prikshit, best of the descendants of Bharata, and so too were the descendants of the Vishnu dynasty, headed by Vasudeva, and Devaki and the other women of the dynasty of Yadu. The friends, relatives, and well-wishers of both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, and even those who externally appeared to be followers of Kamsa, were all demigods. The explanations of the Bhagavatam here are for us, so we don't have to stretch our minds too much. Generally speaking, we may wonder, if Nanda Maharaj was a demigod, then who's Nanda Maharaj in the spiritual world? Is he an incarnation of a demigod? No, of course not. Nanda Maharaj is an eternal Nitya Siddha devotee, and when he comes to this planet, both all his associates and Nanda Maharaj are all Nitya Siddha devotees. So why is it mentioned that they came from the heavenly planets? Well, that's rather an elaborate explanation. It has to do with expansions. That, as we found out, that Nanda Maharaj expanded himself as Drona and Dara. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda expanded themselves in the heavenly planets as Drona and Dara, and it was that Drona and Dara who expanded themselves as Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda on this planet. So Krishna, when he wants to appear, he has to have some means of his associates to appear. So here it mentions that sometimes, at least in this incident, he had them appear from the heavenly planets. But that doesn't mean that they were elevated to the heavenly planets before they could come and associate with Krishna on this planet. Because there are different types of devotees who associated with Krishna on this planet. Some of them were Nitya Siddha devotees. Some of them were Sadhana Siddha devotees. Some of them were they were actually elevated. For instance, there are the Rishi Chari Gopis, the Muni Chari Gopis. There are many different categories of gopis, along with the Nitya Siddha devotees. And these were all necessary for the pastimes of Krishna, as well as for training, because unless the Nitya Siddha devotees came, expanded themselves along with Krishna, then who's going to train these other Muni Chari Gopis, the Rishi Chari Gopis, the ones coming from the heavenly planets? Who's going to train them to serve Krishna in the spiritual world? When they join Krishna on this planet or in any other planet in any universe, then there's a training process that goes on. Of course, these devotees, minimum, who join Krishna, at least being trained up to go to the spiritual world, the minimum, they're on the Bhava Bhakta platform. They've already realized their relation with Krishna. It's not that they come to this planet or any other universe where there's Krishna is having his pastimes, and then they discover what their relation with Krishna is. No, they take birth in the wombs of the gopas in Vrindavan, for instance, and they take place, they take birth, and they're given a certain body. Now that body is only external because things are a little bit more complicated. For instance, when Krishna danced with the gopis in the rasa dance, he did not dance with their so-called material bodies. He danced with their spiritual bodies. As we ourselves are not a material body, and when we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's not the material body or mind that's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's the soul that's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in one sense, we go from this bodily platform of existence to the spiritual platform of existence. Similarly, when the gopis, due to their mature consciousness in Krishna consciousness, bhava bhakti, if not prema bhakti, they could freely leave their bodies in their spiritual, their so-called material bodies, because even their material, so-called material bodies were spiritualized. Just like when you put an iron in fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it takes on all the properties that fire does. So even if one is fully surcharged with Krishna's transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes, if one is associating with the fire called Krishna and his eternal associates, then everything that comes in contact with such a personality absorbed in Krishna consciousness also becomes spiritualized, purified. Actually, there's nothing but spirit. It's just that we're imagining. We're imagining means it's not that we have the ability to just create matter out of spirit, but because we're covered by the material nature, we see it according to our coverings. As Krishna says, Numena vriyate vanir, itardarsham alena cha, itoban avrita garvas, itatene avritam. Just like fire is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the fire is covered by smoke, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and which burns like fire. So of course, when we have the human form of life, we're not on the same level of covering as a tree, hopefully. Although some people appear like that sometimes. In other words, if one is a tree, there's no question of philosophy. The tree never thinks unless it's one of the trees in the forest, Jharikhanda forest or something, who got some special mercy from Lord Chaitanya, or in Champak, what was the name? Pancha? What was the name of the forest where Lord Ramachandra was banished? Where he embraced the trees and sent them back to the spiritual world, Panchaka. So sometimes trees actually become Krishna conscious by a very special favoring of the Lord. But generally speaking, if one is a tree, one's consciousness is limited to being a tree. There's no thoughtfulness in a tree that I'm a tree, although the tree has feelings like we do. Even plants have feelings. If they've done experiments, Prabhupada's boss, his employer, Chandrika Bose, he did experiments with plants. He had a plant and he had some measuring device that shows what kind of reaction the plant had. So sometimes he'd have some man come in and burn one of the plant's leaves and measure what the reaction of the plant was. And every time the man would come into the room, the plant would measure on his measuring device fear. Afraid that the man was going to come and burn him again. On the other hand, if there was very nice music being played, even classical music, then the plant would register feeling very pleased and happy. So, although the soul's consciousness is covered, but it's not completely covered. It feels pleasure and pain, which is more or less what we're feeling, pleasure and pain. We may have a very complicated philosophy over pleasure and pain, but ultimately, when we feel pleasure, we register happy, And when we feel pain, then we register distress, just like the plants do. The difference is that we can perform activities which cause distress enough that we'll become a plant in our next lifetime. We'll get the reactions of our distressing activities, while the plant simply has to tolerate either some, like a tree, either someone's going to come and carve, you know, a heart in the tree, you know, bhakti loves bhakta, or something, carves a heart in the tree. The tree has to tolerate. Can't say, hey, what are you doing? You know, this is not love, this is pain. And if it's snowing, the tree is standing naked. It can't, we never saw anyone put on a coat on a tree. Oh, my dear tree, you look like you're cold. Can I help you? Here's a special coat we made for you for all your branches. Please wear it for the rest of the winter and then we'll take it off when it gets summer. No, due to these sinful activities, especially those who want to stand naked in the human form of life, then they're given an opportunity in the next lifetime to stand naked as a tree, show their body to everyone for hundreds of years. See how beautiful I am. So trees are actually, forests are just big, big nudie camps where all the nudists have come to show their bodies to each other for hundreds of years. And therefore they have to tolerate, because it's not a nudie camp, especially here in Slovenia, in Malaga or some kind of paradisical place where it's always warm. If you want to stand naked, you'll have to stand naked in the snow also. Of course, we don't worry about that, but because we don't see how karma is working. On the other hand, to elevate oneself to the platform of Krishna consciousness, generally speaking, Krishna says, Prapya punya kritam lokam ushisva shasviti samak suchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashta brijayate. If one takes up to the process of yoga, but he's not so serious. Not so serious means that there are four kinds of devotees. Aspiring devotees, I should say. So we're aspiring devotees, and there's four different levels of devotional aspiration. Before one can actually perform pure devotional service, so Krishna says, Chatura vidha bhajante mam, jana sukritina arjuna, arta jignasi artharati, jnani chabaratarshava. There are four kinds of pious people, they render service to me. Those who are distressed. Anyone here ever in distress? Well, at least we have one devotee who is sometimes in distress. Or the wanting the material comfort. Anyone ever hanker for a little bit of comfort? A little bit softer pillow for the bed? So this is on the karma yoga platform. Wanting some return, material, physical return, or even mental return for one's service to Krishna. And if one is elevated beyond the karma yoga platform, I mean, in the process of becoming elevated, one becomes jignasa, inquisitive about some higher state of experience than other just physical or mental. One comes to the intellectual platform of jnana yoga, and therefore one becomes jignasu, inquisitive. Just like these classes are meant for the devotees who are inquisitive. Inquisitive about Shreya Uttama, what the highest goal is. Of course, we can tell stories today, and I think later on today, because it's Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, we'll tell some stories about Lord Ramachandra, and people will like a nice story, so that in case they fall asleep during class, they have a peaceful sleep. But jignasu means to understand the essence of what the pastime is about. Therefore, these pastimes are generally in the later cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because unless we have spiritual senses, unless we're aloof from karma yoga and jnana yoga, our spiritual senses will not allow us to experience pastimes as they actually are to some degree or another. But instead, they'll remind us of some kind of material experiences we've had, which is nice, because at least it's spiritualizing our material experiences to some extent, but not really real experience, and not really revealing what's actually going on in the pastimes. And in any case, when one becomes jignasu, one becomes inquisitive about how to come to the Brahman platform. Because without coming to the Brahman platform, without becoming aloof from hankering and lamentation, at least while we're performing our sadhana bhakti, and without seeing all living entities on the same spiritual platform, that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, one cannot actually have the peace and the tranquility and the happiness to actually experience what's going on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and any of the cantos, actually. But if one is actually on that platform, then one's spiritual senses can actually experience something spiritual. So, at least if we're jignasu, then we gradually get the intelligence and the understanding by serious inquisitiveness and rendering service, just like it mentions here, that Kamsa was a rascal, that he had no character. So our aim is to develop character. Otherwise, we're rascals. Of course, some of us are nicer rascals than others. Some of us get more likes on our rascal Facebook page than others. But that doesn't mean we're not rascals. Why are we rascals? Because we think knowledge, theoretical knowledge, is the perfection of life. We may not be acting according to that knowledge. It may be within our just our minds or our... But we think it's real, because I know something, therefore I'm something special. I know theoretically I'm not this body, so I'm better than all these rascal people who were in the bodily concept of life. I'm in the bodily concept of life, but I'm a good person in the bodily concept of life because I have knowledge. It's like someone who's a good person, he knows he shouldn't be in jail. He knows he did something wrong to be in jail. So he thinks he's better than the other prisoners. But actually, he's also in jail like the other prisoners. So similarly, just knowledge is not sufficient for liberation. That one has to develop perspective on that knowledge. One has to see what the knowledge is actually telling me so that I just not don't believe something theoretically, but I actually belong to some kind of organization where I'm interacting with them to experience what that belief is, to live that belief. Now, we may think that there's some kind of way of experiencing that belief outside of the association of devotees. Unfortunately, Krishna doesn't agree with us. He says, Tatam prasangam amavirya sambhido pavanti rikarna risayanam kata. That in the association of devotees, satam prasangam, mamavirya sambhido, then one can actually experience my glories. Bhavanti rikarna. If we actually hear and allow that knowledge, that philosophy, that understanding, enter into both our rid, our heart, and rid. Satam prasangam, mamavirya sambhido, bhavanti rikarna. In other words, first it has to go through our ear. We have to stay awake, which is a big challenge. To actually want to hear what's being said is a big challenge. Because some of it is just philosophy, and who wants philosophy? We want stories. We want to be entertained. We want to be lullabied. Baby, lullaby to sleep. So we like nice music, nice stories, nice prasadam, and don't try to make me too serious about this all, or else I'll just go to sleep. Tell me later. No, karana, which means that we have to allow the knowledge, the philosophy, to enter into our ears, and how do we know if it entered into our ears? Then we remember it. We don't remember something, it means that we didn't hear it. We didn't bother listening to it. If I gave a talk about the glories of any devotee here, they probably remember every single word I said. If we talk about someone's personal glories. Oh, this devotee is refulgent like the sun. He sings like a nightingale. Even the demigods come and try to get his association or her association. We think, wow, this is fantastic. Keep on, go more and more. And one's ears will expand, actually, this to drink in the nectar. But if someone's talking about Krishna, oh, God, how boring. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My competitors since time immemorial, why are they glorifying him? Why not me? I'm his dear servant. No, Karna, if it enters through our ears and we remember it, then we can examine it and try to feel it, understand it, feel it. Rid, the heart, we can experience it. It's in the heart that we experience things. Otherwise, it says that those whose hearts are steel framed, in spite of the chanting of the holy name, and in spite of feeling even ecstasy sometime, their heart remains steel framed. Because they can't give up their ideas of material happiness. And therefore, they may concentrate on the holy name or in devotional service, get some ecstasy and think their business is finished, and let me go on with my material objectives. So that takes some time to become serious, but at least Ridkaranam Kata Rasayanam. But at least, even if we have material motivations and objectives, at least we should know they'll be fulfilled if we allow this knowledge to enter through our ears, into our heart, and actually experience it. Then we'll actually get enlightened, but not only spiritually, but materially. And our material objectives will also be fulfilled through Krishna's arrangements. Just like going to the heavenly planets. Generally speaking, those who go to the heavenly planets and stay there for some time are those who cultivated knowledge and applied it within their lives in a spiritual way. Then they get elevated to the higher planetary systems. Otherwise, those who are interested in material rewards for their service, generally they go for a shorter period of time to almost heavenly planets or maybe heavenly planets. And they live there for some time and enjoy and then come back here again. Therefore, there's a difference between going to Indraloka and going to Mahaloka or Jnanaloka or Brahmaloka. There are so many different arrangements made according to our seriousness executing the yoga process. But for most of them, they come back to the earthly planet again after finishing up their activities. And they take birth either in the rich rich family, or an aristocratic. That's not right. Aristocratic. That's right. Aristocratic family. But most of those who take birth in an aristocratic family or in a rich family, they get allured by their material opportunities, and they give up devotional service. They're the ones who come, you know, rarely, and they put some money in the box and pray that they can come back to the heavenly planets again, buy a ticket to heaven. There, but here we have the instance that when Krishna appears in a particular universe, then very special personalities come. Those who have actually executed devotional service for some time and qualify themselves to take part in Krishna's pastimes. Krita Punya Punya. The coward boys who were playing with Krishna were not ordinary personalities. They were not even ordinary demigods. After many, many lifetimes of pious activity, this is in the, that verse is in, itam sitam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradayavitena mayashityanam naradarakena sukham vraju kritapunya punyam. Here the Supreme Person, who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men, now these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as if he was an ordinary child. So these are very special arrangements, very special devotees take birth as demigods so they can join Krishna's pastimes. But this is not the normal. Krishna only comes to one universe in one day of Brahma every 4,300,000,000 years times 1,000, or something like that. once in a day in Brahma. Brahma's day is, one yuga is 4,300,000 times 1,000, Mahayuga. And there are, in one day of Brahma, there are 1,000 such. So it's something like 4,300,000,000 years. And then he has a night, so it's around 6,600,000,000 years that Krishna comes. So in the meantime, so that's not very common. That doesn't come very rarely. So Krishna is coming here 5,000 years ago. It's practically like yesterday compared to the time span of when he comes. And what to speak of Lord Chaitanya coming 500 years ago. It's like last night or something. And what to speak of Srila Prabhupada coming. So these personalities, they take birth. And indeed, even those who have taken birth in this Hare Krishna movement are not ordinary, although sometimes we appear to be quite ordinary. But those who are serious about Krishna consciousness, they've been given an opportunity to take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And if we take advantage of that, then we become just like the demigods. And we get the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world, like these very special demigods. When Krishna went back, then of course Nanda, Maharaj, Yasoda, the other ones like Vasudeva and Devaki, their plenary portions of demigods went back to the heavenly planets, and they joined Krishna either in another universe to perform pastimes, but they always exist in the spiritual world. That's the amazing thing, is that for a pure devotee, he can exist in many places simultaneously and not get bewildered. It's not that they're wondering, where am I? You know, I thought I was in the spiritual world, and here I am in this, you know, Slovenia. What's going on? This is crazy. I know I'm supposed to get up and play with Krishna, but my God, it looks like I'm downtown Ljubljana. What's going on? No, they have the capacity. Their consciousness is expanded, so they can actually live comfortably in many places simultaneously and concentrate, be able to concentrate fully in every place and give their heart and their activities fully in that particular place. We can't do that, therefore we can't even imagine what that would be like, nor should we try to imagine it, because we can't do it. Simply our brains would go, would just heat up and maybe frazzle, whatever. But these personalities like Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda Maharaj, and Yasoda, and the other coward men, and they're all existing eternally in the spiritual world. They're Nitya Siddha devotees. And they come and they take part in Krishna's pastimes here to train up the conditioned souls so that they can become attracted to go back to the spiritual world too. So we should simply honor what's being said. Prabhupada's giving us enough information so that we could try to understand what he's talking about, and not so much that our brains would frazzle trying to figure out how is this possible. And then we'd lose the whole point that it's possible if we become devotees, and these things will be revealed to us, how these things are actually going on. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. You were speaking about from karma, kanda, from karma.
No, karma yoga.
Karma yoga to jnana yoga. And then what was the next step after jnana yoga?
Astanga yoga.
Astanga yoga. Then actually... Bhakti. We become acquisite about Brahman, and then we start to practice
we're practicing pure devotional service. There's the Varnashram system, which takes you through karma yoga, jnana yoga. So we also, we're contaminated by karma yoga and jnana yoga while we're practicing pure devotional service. So our practice is to get free from those tinges of material desire and material speculation, to come free from it by concentrating on our service with attention and love. So that will purify us of these tendencies, these contaminations. But there are actually processes in the Varnashram system where they also perform the activities of bhakti, but they emphasize more their duty in Varnashram. They emphasize more their cultivation of knowledge than they do the bhakti part of it. The bhakti is secondary. But for us, bhakti is first, and that will help us relieve us from the contaminations of material desires and mental speculation, and bring us to the platform where we can actually concentrate our minds upon Krishna, and eventually with love and devotion.
Yeah. And is there any, between jnana and bhakti, is there any something between these two?
Jnana and bhakti.
So like from karma yoga, jnana yoga, and then bhakti yoga, or is it anything in between?
Astanga yoga, concentrating the mind on Krishna.
Okay.
It's not that when we actually have, when our heart becomes purified and we start thinking about Krishna, that we're perfect. It takes a lot to purify the heart to be able to experience Krishna directly. That's like Dhruva Maharaj had to go, even in spite of his great austerity, it took him months to actually fully concentrate upon Krishna. And actually Krishna revealed himself when he became qualified. Only at the very end did he actually get bhakti. In spite of the fact his great austerity has allowed him to concentrate incredibly well upon the Supreme Lord's form.
Thank you. Because like this is the way how actually in our practice we also do karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and then
well, hopefully we don't do that. We do bhakti. We try to do bhakti yoga, and then we try to give up our tendency towards karma yoga and jnana yoga.
These tendencies.
But if we can come to the platform of trying to become jnanis, at least cultivate the spiritual knowledge, that goes a long way towards coming to the perfectional platform. If we remain on the material, on the aspiring for freedom from distress and material comfort, then we don't really make any progress towards the goal of life.
I was thinking about when it is said that when the devotee leaves the body and...
I think you do have to put the...
When the devotee leaves the body and he goes to the planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on so that he can get trained. So I was just wondering about this. In the pastimes here, it is said that all the demigods, they join the pastimes. So it could be one of the pastimes, such as this one, where a devotee is going to get trained.
I don't understand.
For example, this pastime that, you know, Krishna, Leela, the whole thing happened.
Yeah.
And the demigods, they participated in all these pastimes. So I'm just thinking that when it is said that the devotee goes back, goes to a planet where the training, where the pastimes of Krishna are going on so that he can get trained. So I'm just wondering that if these pastimes is one of those pastimes where a person could get trained.
Yeah, that's all there is going on. That's what Krishna's pastimes are. For training the conditioned soul to become attracted to becoming a devotee of Krishna, and training those who are qualified to become qualified to go back to the spiritual world and serve Krishna there. But there's a variety of personalities in Krishna's pastimes to make it interesting. Satrajit was obviously not qualified to go back to the spiritual world. He was somewhat envious of Krishna, but he was part of the pastimes in Dwarka. So there's a whole mixture of personalities kind of uniquely fit together according to some of them are being trained to go back to the spiritual world because of their previous qualifications. And some of them are just ordinary demigods taking part in the activities to satisfy Krishna. But they're all getting benefited. There's not one size fits everyone in these pastimes. They're all full of varieties of personalities and different levels of spiritual advancement, different aspirations, etc. But in general, it says those main ones, the prominent ones, they're all Nityasiddha devotees who are training the others how to become perfect devotees. Rarani, Srimati Rarani obviously didn't come here to get trained, nor Lalita Vishakha, nor the other Astasakhi gopis, nor do their associates like Rupa and Raghunath, Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, they're not being trained. They're the ones who are doing the training. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, probably you gave some hints also here, but sometimes you see aspiring devotees and they have some strange behaviors. So how can we understand this principle that they are in this pastime and they are exalted personalities, actually.
Who can you give me an example? I mean, as I said, there's varieties of personalities. They're not all equally exalted. And therefore, those who are, quote, performing strange activities are probably not on the highest platform, depending on what you mean by strange activities. Unless they're, you know, exhibiting, you know, the asta-bhava symptoms of ecstasy. But I don't know what you mean by strange activities.
Speaking about aspiring devotees in the temple, maybe, I don't know, just to give an example.
That's what
maybe
we're aspiring devotees, therefore we may be under different modes of nature. The lower the nature, the stranger the activities are, usually. Therefore, when you go to a hospital, you don't expect everyone to be in perfect health. That's why they have a hospital. So this is a spiritual hospital. We don't expect everyone to be the highest level of Krishna consciousness. But this is a hospital to cure us by devotional service to come to a higher level of consciousness. So we don't do strange things anymore. But that may take some time. Our time, at least. We're very impatient. If someone doesn't immediately become a pure devotee, we think they're a demon. They're useless. But actually, we have to have a little patience, too. All right. Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.